Glad I'm moving up. Won't be long. Trumpet could sound today. This crowd needs to wake up. Did y'all, y'all saw a while ago that this side couldn't see, but I nearly fell down the stairs. That's because I've lost so much weight, my body isn't used to. My equilibrium is off. I'll have to gain the weight back, so I'm losing weight makes you clumsy. Yeah, I need some caffeine or sugar. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Very familiar passage to most of us. I'm going to use this as it's a topical message this morning, in case you're wondering. And Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. I do want to thank the Lord for the rain. And I hope it just continues to rain and rain and rain and rain. I do thank the Lord for the new building, though, that we can drive under the awning and not get wet, some of you. At least some of the husbands brought their wives around and did that. I want to thank the Lord for the second thing, that the old building's not leaking. If you haven't got a chance to go, and I haven't had a chance to look at the nurseries and the whole west side downstairs, we've got all that remodeled, and appreciate the ladies, did a fantastic job on the decorating, and it looks wonderful, and the new carpet, and just really, really nice. So let's continue to pray the old building didn't leak. Doesn't mean the new one didn't leak, but the old one didn't leak. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let's pray. Lord, bless the reading of Your Word. I do pray that the Holy Spirit would lead and direct us this morning. God, that through Your Word, that we would just be a good encouragement to those who are here this morning and those who may be watching. Lord, I do pray for Brother Ivy, and I know he's watching this morning. Praise the Lord, You bless him and strengthen him. God, I pray that we would be just joyful people as Christians. Lord, I pray that we would be merry. Help us this morning, Lord. We ask this in Your name. Amen. A merry heart doth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. Take just a few minutes and think about this morning all the news that we hear. I know just this last week I was listening to a particular show on the radio, and the question was asked, why is the news always negative? And the man who was over the radio show said, well, that's because negative news sells and positive news doesn't. Isn't that sad? That is sad. We have a lot of negative news, a lot of bad news that we hear today. I mean, in our government today, there's no doubt corruption. And we see it every day, nearly on a daily basis. I am a news junkie, by the way. I have the Fox News app on my phone. I have the Star Telegram app on my phone. I like to be informed. I like to know what's going on. And we got rid of paid TV at our house about 6 months ago. We're on that free TV network. And so I don't get Fox News and some of those other that I used to get. But I do enjoy keeping up with the news. But it does, we know that most of the news on the television or your app is negative. Again, we see negative news coming from our government, the deceit and lying. I mean, if a politician's talking, he's lying. I mean, that's just, it's sad, isn't it? It's sad that we really believe that way. Because there's a lot of truth to it. Bad news, moral decay going on in our country today. There is no doubt a socialist agenda going on in our government today. Hearings, lawsuits, backbiting, constant cry for investigations into various departments of the government on a daily basis. It's amazing, isn't it? Just bad news after bad news after bad news. I think the approval rating of the government now is like 13%. Even our grand president's approval rates in the upper 30s. It's amazing that the bad news that goes on in our government. You know, I want to remind you today, the government's not the solution to the problems of America. It's Christ. And but the bad news, our own president endorsing gay marriage on down through the government, even Mr. Holder going against state rights in the area of gay marriage. It's just bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. And sometimes we wonder, what happened? What happened? What happened? And what happened to honor and glory and freedom and all these things. And we think about the physical. I don't, on a nightly basis, we hear bad news about cancer. I went up to visit just this last week, Riley, Miss Vicky D's great niece, who has brain cancer, who's 3 years old. And what a sad, sad state to sit there and watch this little girl who was so spry and just a hyperactive little girl, and see how that she's reduced to laying in bed because of cancer. And I think of all those who would suffer from that. The statistics say that cancer is now killing more children between the ages of 3 and 14 than anything else. That's sad, isn't it? One out of every three Americans will develop cancer during their lifetime, and this includes Christians. Everybody feeling better? One out of every five deaths in America is now caused by cancer. Each year, approximately 500,000 Americans die from cancer. And we go on and on and on, the bad news. They can't determine whether caffeine's good for you, or I'm sorry, whether coffee's good for you or bad for you, whether tea's good for you or bad for you, whether chocolate's good for you or bad for you. Depends on who you listen to. And bad news after bad news, AIDS, arthritis, heart disease. Everybody feeling good? Bad news. We think about today the divorce rate being one out of every two, 50-50 chance when you get married that you're going to get divorced, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. That is also sad. As Christians, our divorce rate ought to be nothing, but it surely ought to be a lot less. And we think about the other things going on in regards to the family today, the erosion of the family, the separations taking place. I just cannot believe people who would beat a kid or chain a kid to the floor. Some of y'all may have heard that here lately on the news. Just bad news after bad news. Drugs now. No longer are we, dare. Dare is no longer the slogan. We are no longer as a government. The government's no longer against marijuana and many other things. Drugs is rampant. Alcohol is rampant. We'll fry those who smoke a cigarette and go after them. But those who drink alcohol, that's just fine. Though it kills multiple thousands of people and destroys more marriages than a cigarette ever destroyed ever. Alcohol is the plague of America, not cigarettes. I'm against cigarettes too. I'm against anything God's against. Just tell, you know. Everybody all right? Good? J.D. Weedo. Everybody all right? All right. We live in a fast-paced world. Our families are on the go, go, go. I'm telling you, some of the families, even in this room, better be careful about go, go, go. Every once in a while, you need to stop and spend a little time and breathe a little bit. Take a little time, take your wife out, take your husband out on a date, spend some time, quality time with your kids. Maybe I ought to back up on that one. Spend some quality time with your spouse, take them out on a date, go flea market shopping or something, you know. But we live in a time and a day and age in which the family is in constant pressure, under constant pressure, and therefore causing more bad news. Let's continue on this. I love this. The bad news about our school systems, I think in the world now we're ranked middle way or down at the bottom somewhere as far as how smart our children really are. And though, as there are many good teachers, especially in our area, we have one of the best school systems in Texas in this area. But let me tell you, the majority of school systems across the nation are not, that's not the case. Hello. We could talk about many things, that reading, writing, and arithmetic is not the main subjects in most schools anymore. It's not. They can say all they want to, but there is an agenda being pushed with our children. And you say, are you one of those conspiracy geek things? I said, no, I just my eyes are open. You just read a few. It's there. It's not just hidden. It's very much obvious today that our school systems are an environment for a bunch of psychobabble, that they're forcing, spoon-feeding. Everybody all right? That they're spoon-feeding our kids a bunch of this environmental wacko job stuff. Okay, so you go look this up and you help me out. I'm telling you, the EPA is the back door into you losing all your freedoms. Just get ready for it. We're already losing enough. Everybody good? I'm doing this on purpose. I hope you know that. But this global warming stuff, let me tell you, mankind is not primarily responsible for global warming. The world is winding down. God, it's in the book. A volcano eruption causes, I believe it is, and you can go read about it, 2 or 3 years of environmental pollution that we put out in 2 or 3 years. It does in one shot. Hello, I'm saying there may be, maybe global warming is happening. But as human beings, we're not the primary cause. The world is winding down. Volcanic eruptions. Hello. In fact, I'm just simple-minded enough to understand that. If a volcano erupts and disperses all that stuff in the air, and that's 2 or 3 years worth of what all mankind can do, then maybe we need to learn how to stop volcanic eruptions instead of finding out whether we should, you know, run on potatoes or something on our cars. That's going to be the next thing. The next big thing is our cars are going to run off potatoes. And the emails will come. Listen, I'm all for the day and age in which you spill your used oil back in the alley is over. And we never should have done those type of things. I was raised in the country. When you changed your oil, you took your oil out in the alley and you poured it out. That was wrong. I would not do that today. We ought to take care of our environment. Everybody with me? We ought to take care of our water. There ought to be rules. There ought to be things there. But to take it to the extreme is absolutely wrong. We worship in the creature more than the creator. I mean, just an absolute psychobabble. And a lot of this is being pushed upon primarily with our kids. And if we're not careful, your kids will just be indoctrinated with it, not only in public school systems, but also in the colleges. We must be very careful. We do know the bad news is in school systems that the gay and lesbian lifestyle is being pushed. And they want to continue to push the envelope with sex education and all these things. By the way, the education of our children about sex should come from us, not from some school teacher. And listen, there's some good school teachers in our area. And there's some good school teachers here. But I want to teach my children about those things. I don't want somebody else teaching them about those things. Amen. It's not the school responsibility. It's the dad's responsibility to sit down with his little boy and teach him. I tell my kids, I'll draw you pictures. Honestly, how detailed you want me to get, I'll do it. You got to quit being embarrassed and teach your kids something. Amen? Take your time. Hello, everybody all right? Bad news. Bad news. Well, we could go on, couldn't we? I'm telling you, the bad news is everywhere. Daily bombardment of news on the television, of bad news. I mean, all they report is the negative stuff. Bombardment of bad news, sad news, you know, Russia and the Ukraine and by the way, I heard a analyst say these exact words, that the new axis is China and Russia. That's found in the book. That's a sign of the end times, folks. I need to preach on it. And I will here. Sometime this year I'm going to preach on that. I'm telling you, it's Russia and China who get together to come and invade Israel. Get ready, folks. And a news commentator said that. Just found in the Bible. Bad news. Killings. Wars. I mean, we now have pirates. That's pretty cool, but not cool for the people who get... It's not really the guys with patches and... It's people with machine guns and... You know, unbelievable stuff, isn't it? I mean, if you were to listen to the news day after day like I do, and I don't know why I do it, and read the news... Bad news after bad news after bad news. Very rarely does anyone talk about the good stuff. Even the church can be negative from time to time. And I have a tendency, if I'm not careful, to just talk about the bad news. And we as a church and as Christians can get unbalanced in our news. For instance, giving out prayer requests. And we talk about, Brother Ivy's in the hospital this morning. We need to be in prayer for him. And absolutely, we need to be praying for those who are sick and those who are discouraged and so forth. But sometimes all we ask for is prayer requests, and it's bad news after bad news after bad news, and very little good news. Sometimes we forget about the praises. We always want to talk about the bad stuff, but we never want to give God praise for the answer to prayer. So important that we as Christians, that we're careful in this area. As Christians, we can be against so many things. By the way, Jesus was against things. It's not wrong for us to stand up and say, hey, this is wrong, or this is wrong. And a lot of churches don't do that no more. They don't. Right? Listen. And it's okay to be against some things. But it's not okay to be obsessed with the negative. And we relegate the positive to a secondary position or eliminate it altogether. We must not be guilty of encouraging bad news. I'm sorry, but some Christians look like they've been sucking on lemons all day. Right? Well, we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't become just the center of negativism and bad news. I don't want to be guilty of that, and none of us should be. That's why it is important, and we don't do enough around here, of having a testimony time. And Brother Ladd has been pushing this with me a little bit, of having some people come up to the platform. We've had Brother Juan do this here recently, and give you the positive stuff. Look at what God is doing. Look at how God is working. Look how Christians are growing in the Lord. Look at the good things. We need to be careful about always dwelling on the bad news. In a day with so much bad news, we must realize that we have the good news. We have the good news. It's here. It's laying in your lap this morning. The good news of the gospel. That's what it's called, the good news. Psalms, I'll turn over there. Psalm 19 talks about the Word of God and the good news that we have. And it's such a great psalm. We sing it. We've sung it in the past. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Some of y'all might be able to get this. I'm going to sing it. Look over there. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And you go down to verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Sing it with me, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I like that last phrase. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. That's the Word of God, the good news. Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The Word of God is described as being a light. The Word of God is described as being salt and so many other things that we enjoy. And in a world full of bad news, having the Word of God and the good news is like flipping the light switch on. Aren't you glad you have lights? Man, even when the lights go out and you're able to light a candle, what a difference it makes. And let me tell you, in this world today, and I'm going to preach on it tonight because we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 there where it talks about us being a light in the dark world. But it's important that we remember that the Word of God is a light. And I'm telling you, the more you read it, the more you read it, the more you digest it, the more you think about it, the better it gets. And the more positive you will view things. The Word of God brings joy to our hearts and to our lives. It is the gospel. It's the good news of salvation. Listen this morning, if you are bombarded and you are under the thumb of a lot of negative things going on in your life and a lot of bad news going on in your life, pick the Word of God up and read it. It will change your thoughts. It will change your mood. It'll make your heart merry. Like medicine. Some medicine anyway. The Word of God is like rain on a dusty world. I cannot believe how far our lakes are down and praying for rain so much. But the Word of God is like rain. We ought to rejoice and be glad. Have that merry heart. Psalm 9 verse 2 says, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Psalm 9 verse 14 says, I will rejoice in Thy salvation. Psalm 20, verse 5 says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in thy name, God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." And I could read dozens more of the Psalms that speak about rejoicing the heart and the joy of our salvation. Listen, as Christians, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We have the Lord. The Lord loves us. Think about it for a moment. The God of the universe, the God who has transcended, as we preached on Wednesday night, who is above all, who's far above all, who made all things, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He condescended and became a man because He loves us. The God of the universe loves us. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us. "But God commendeth," or showed His love toward us, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Listen, the God of the universe sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world because He loved us, that His Son might die for us. I have three sons. I wouldn't give any of my three sons for any of you. If there was a bus driving by and there's a choice between my son and you, my son's the one I'm going to pick out of the crowd. I'm just selfish that way. You are too. Don't look at me and you're holier than thou face. Especially some of you, your grandkids, you'd push your kid in the bus and grab your grandkid out in front of it. You know it's true. Brother Clark's fixing to learn. Once those grandkids come along, they're set to the side. It's a sad day, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus Christ came to this earth, God's only begotten Son, because God loves us. He gave His Son for us. Think about again the good news. The good news is that God loves us. The good news is that He sent His Son to pay the price for our sin, to pay mankind's sin debt. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who," talking about Christ, "who His own self," talking about Jesus now, "who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree." All right, so the Bible says in Isaiah that God laid on His Son the iniquity of us all. So in His own self, He bore our sins. There on the tree, when He was on the cross, Christ took upon Himself the sins of the entire world. Past, present, and future sins. That we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Through the death of Christ, through the blood that was shed on Calvary, through His death and His burial and His resurrection, we have our sins forgiven. He paid mankind's sin debt. He paid for mankind's sin debt, for the children's sin and for the adult sin, for men, women, boys and girls. He paid for all of our sins there on the cross. He paid a debt He did not owe. He had no sins of His own. But all of us are sinners. The Bible says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." We are all born into sin. We are all born selfish by nature. And because of that, the Bible says the wages of that is death. Revelation says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is second death. There's not only a physical death, there's a spiritual death. The physical death, the Bible says, we're appointed unto man once to die. One day all of us will die. It's just going to happen. But also the Bible says that once that death occurs, that at that very moment that death occurs, we either die and go to heaven or we die and go to hell. And Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, bore our sins on Calvary, that we might have everlasting life, that we might spend eternity in heaven, that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus suffered the pain He did not deserve, and Christ went to the cross for us. He died a vicarious death. He died in our place. He took the penalty of sin for us. He died for us and was buried. But we thank the Lord He rose again from the dead. 2 Corinthians 15 says, "For delivered unto you first of all that which I also received," this is Paul speaking, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I have good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ lives today. That's the best news. I would tell you that Christ being alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the throne of God is better news and far outweighs any of the negative news and the bad news. See, this life is short. The Bible says this life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanisheth away. And we know in Texas that the grass is going to be green for like 2 seconds. And then we're all going to, unless you water it, and then you're going to step out one day and all of it's dead. Like the grass that comes up for a while, the flower that flourishes, but then fadeth away. That's our life. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This is a short life compared to eternity. Listen, we have good news that Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in order that we might have everlasting life. He forgives sinners. He saves sinners. And we are all sinners. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Jesus, as many as received the Lord, to them became the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name." Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ become children of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joint heirs with Jesus. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God this morning. Joint heirs with Jesus. In a sense, and as the Bible illustrates for us, that Jesus Christ is my brother. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened," hath He, that is the Lord, "made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having forgiven you all your sins, nailing it to the cross." I love that expression. Nailing it to the cross, that Jesus Christ, when we were dead in our sins, He hath quickened us, forgiven us our sins, and nailed those sins to the cross. You ought to go back and read that verse. You ought to write it down. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14. My sins have been nailed to the cross. Not only does God love us and send His Son to pay our sin debt, and that Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins, but when I got saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell me. There are three persons of the Trinity, or three parts of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when I become a part of God's family, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells me. Comes and indwells me. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth on you?" That's not what it says. It says the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. He dwelleth in you. The Spirit of God does not come upon you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. There's a misconception today. I'm glad today that the Holy Spirit abides in me. And the Holy Spirit is there to... Jesus said to His disciples that in John chapter 16 that He must go away, that He must die, that He must go to heaven, that He must go away in order that He might send the Holy Spirit, that He might send another Comforter, that He might send it. He said, "And this Comforter will guide you into all truth." And in John 16, He gives various things and various benefits of having the Holy Spirit. The greatest benefit of the Holy Spirit is He's there making intercession for us, that He's there leading us and directing us, that He's there guiding us. I want to rely upon the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to seek His direction. I want His direction. Where I go to college, I want His direction. What job I have, how I raise my family, how I raise my children, how I treat my spouse. I want the Holy Spirit's direction. He is there to guide us. The Holy Spirit in John chapter 16 says that He is there to comfort us. Well, I don't know about you, but things happen. Bad things happen in my life. I can look back in my own life and many, many different times in which bad things have happened, and I've gone to God and I said, "Lord, help me, strengthen me, comfort me." And the Holy Spirit has been there every time to give me grace and comfort. Listen, that's great news. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus said, I will not leave you by yourself. If I go away, I will send another comforter. And He hasn't left us by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit there. And listen this morning, if you're not, as a Christian, experiencing joy and experiencing a merry heart, then go to the Holy Spirit. Go to God. Ask Him. And the Holy Spirit can give you that comfort that you need. Acts chapter 1, verse 18 speaks of the Holy Spirit empowering us. Listen, we're challenged as Christians to be a witness. We're to be telling others about the good news of salvation. Listen, people need good news today. They need the good news. They need to know that that they can escape hell and have a home in heaven, that somebody loves them, that God loves them. They need the good news, and we need to be sharing it. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the Scriptures as we read them. Listen, as you're reading your Bible, and you should be as a Christian reading your Bible on a daily basis, you should, before you start your Bible reading, you should ask the Lord to help you understand what you're reading. Pray that, Lord, help me, illuminate me, help me to understand, give me understanding into what I'm reading. And He will. The preacher doesn't have a corner on biblical interpretation. The Bible never says that. We are all royal priests, the Bible says. Each one of us can go to the Word of God and dig out the good stuff that's in there. Amen. Just ask the Lord to help you, and He will. He's giving you the Holy Spirit to illuminate you. He's giving the Holy Spirit to empower you, to give you the power to live the Christian life. You don't have to live a defeated Christian life. You don't have to live a defeated life when it comes to habits and all these other things in your life. You don't have to live a defeated life when it comes to anger and losing your temper. Or you don't have to live a defeated life when it comes to any of these things. The Holy Spirit will empower you to overcome these things. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us and gave His life for us. Listen, you have the power, because the Holy Spirit indwells you, to overcome this world, to overcome the flesh, to overcome Satan. Amen. That's good news. I'm not by myself. I'm not living this life by myself. I have all the help I need. I have all the power that I ever need. If I just tap into the power source and go to God and ask, Holy Spirit there to help us and lead us and direct us. By the way, it's also the Holy Spirit there that convicts us when we are doing things that we shouldn't do. And I'm glad for that convicting power. That enables me to know when I cross the line, I need to back up. We have good news. God loves us, sent His Son to die on the cross for us that we might have everlasting life, to forgive us of our sins. Listen, what a great and wonderful feeling it is to have your sins forgiven. It's not just a great thought. And it's not just a great truth, it's also a great feeling. I'm glad when I got saved, emotions are connected. My sins have been forgiven. I've been given the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct in my life. I have not been left alone. And I'm also assured heaven one day. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. When I die, at that very moment, I'm in heaven. No in between. No purgatory. The Bible nowhere talks about purgatory. That's not found in the Scriptures. But what the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When I die, when I pass from this life to the next, when I usher into heaven right away. Stand before the Lord. That's good news, folks. That's stuff you can lay your head down at night and sleep. Instead of being worried about what's going on here and there, and just lay my head down at night knowing that if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Amen. Lastly, I'm glad I have good news that Jesus Christ is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. We take comfort, we take joy, we take good news in knowing that if we are if we were not to die and the Lord was returned, that we will be caught up to be with Him. We believe, the Bible teaches, in the imminent return of Christ. That means that Christ could return at any moment. He could return today. He could return right now. I mean, He could return, the Bible talks about, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. It could happen now. That's good news. In fact, it'd be really good news if it happened today. The Bible says that Christ is preparing for us a mansion. He's getting ready. He's waiting for the Father to tell Him to go get His bride. He's waiting for the Heavenly Father just to say, go get the saved. Go get the saved. Go get those who have accepted Christ as Savior, both alive and those in the grave. It could happen today. Christ brings good news, a message of hope, confident expectation. Christ brings good news, a message of love. God so loved the world. Christ brings good news, a news of rejoicing. Life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. Are you enjoying life? Jesus said He came not to just give us life, but to give us life more abundant. Are you living an abundant life? Good news, Christ will give you that abundant life. Have you taken the message this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you accepted the good news? Those who believe and trust in Him, those who accept Him, will have everlasting life. I hope today that you'll accept the good news. Can I remind Christians here this morning, those who are saved, that we should be the happiest people on earth? Sometimes it would be good for us to look at each other, look yourself in the mirror once in a while and see if you look like you've been sucking on lemons too long. Really. I mean, we ought to be the most positive people at our workplace. The most positive people. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. We know the Creator. We know where we're going someday when we die. And we know why we're here. We know our purpose in life. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. The world needs to hear the good news. We need to share the light with those around us. Don't let the bad news of this world rob you of your joy. Christian, say it again. Don't let the bad news of this world rob you of your joy. You should be experiencing joy as a Christian. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. Have I said that yet? A merry heart doeth good like medicine. We ought to have a merry heart. Don't allow the bad news to break your spirit, or it'll dry up your bones. My wife knows this, and most of you do too. I don't like hanging around negative people. I don't like it at all. I just don't. I think everybody ought to be an optimist. Everybody ought to be an optimist. I think in this world there are just too many pessimists. There really are. Too many negative people. And some Christians are the most negative people I've ever met in my life. They're always talking about the bad things that have happened to them. Always allowing the circumstances to weigh them down. Man, look up every once in a while. Stand on. The circumstances aren't supposed to be on top of you. You're supposed to be on top of them. Amen. Really. Look up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have a merry heart. The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll lead and direct you. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 153, I Surrender All. After we pray. Hymn 153. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your love for us. And God, we thank You for Your love that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for us, to forgive us our sins. And God, You sent the Comforter for us. And Lord, we're so looking forward to heaven, knowing that heaven will be our home, and we're looking forward to Your return. I pray as Christians this morning that we would be happy people, that we would not allow the bad news of this world to rob us of our joy. I pray this morning that if someone here who has not accepted the good news, the message of Your dear Son, who is not saved, I pray, God, that You would save them today, that You would touch their heart, that they would step out of their chair and come forward to this altar, Lord, and accept You today. Lord, we thank You for the good news of salvation. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in view of that good news. In Jesus' name, amen.